Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock. And we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. Others have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION at 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. Over in the Lowell Ada area, 100.3 FM. And we're so glad you've tuned us in, and we welcome you to our broadcast. Some have tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGIM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia station and the Greenville station by the way of the web, which is pretty special. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, and I welcome you. I also would like to encourage you with the thought that those that are listening by way of my website is pastorkenharger.com, and then you just click your mouse over on messages from the Lighthouse, and current media will show up right there, and you can get the message for today. Otherwise, you can just type in Sermon Cloud, and it'll take you right to the message as well. Whatever way you join me today, I'm just glad to be a part of your life and allowing me to be a part of your life for these next few moments. As I share with you, our message is entitled today, The Birth of Disobedience. I want us to go back to the Garden of Eden and see how sin came into this world. And also within this message, we will talk about the rebirth of obedience as Jesus comes and he does what he does that gives us the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. And I also at the end of the time would like to address the idea of sometimes it's just kind of half obedience. We say it with our mouth, but we don't fulfill it. And we'll close with that. Got some songs today, my CD that KN makes for me. Some reason one of the songs didn't work, and so I've got a CD this morning of Half Ton of Praise that used to go around singing quite a bit, and so we're just going to re-resurrect some of their songs for this morning, okay? Well, as we get started with our message this morning, you know, somebody loves me. Just good to know that somebody loves you. Whatever you go through in your individual life, as you go through the difficulties and the blessing, we need to know that somebody loves us. And that's so important for each one of us to understand. And so I'm going to try to hit the right key or the right number here. And I trust we'll be able to listen to this song, Somebody Loves Me. And that's pretty special in my life. And I trust it's special in your life. I'll be right back. Just a few moments.
I'm in love with my Savior and he's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is he. Watches over me when I sleep. Hears me when I pray. I'm as happy as I can be, and I now can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine.
When at last my work is done, he will take me home to a mansion he has prepared, never more to roam. We'll sit down by the riverside, cares all passed away.
And with never a pain to bear, what a happy day. Somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus and I know he's mine. Somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus and I know he's mine.
Somebody loves me and I know he's mine. What a privilege it is for us to realize that God loves each one of us. He loves us with his internal love. He loves us with a love that is never changing. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is Pastor Ken Harger, and I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse this morning. And it's a Tuesday evening, early evening, that I made up the radio broadcast for this morning. I had to get my quad out first and plow some snow down here and make my little path down here. And then the steps were pretty covered with snow and slippery also. So I got them all cleaned up, and now I'm ready for the share the message with you. The lake is totally froze over again, so that's something that has been just really strange this year, the way it has worked. It was froze over at one time, and then it opened all up again, and now she's all froze over again. So we'll just take it that that's probably going to stay this time. I think there's some cold weather going to be coming in on us, and so we'll just take it as it comes, one day at a time. Well, as we get ready for our message time, I want to remember the listening audience. I took that on about a year ago, saying I wanted to pray for the listening audience every time I started my broadcast. And whatever it is that you're going through, the difficulties that you're experiencing, the blessings that you're received. I love it when the Bible says, we're to weep with those who weep and we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. And so that's what I want to do with you this morning as I just take a few moments and bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege we have to come into your very presence. I share so often at funerals, Father, that your ear is always open unto our cry. And love the Lord Jesus. He said, my sheep know my voice, and he knows our voice. And what a precious privilege that is to come into your presence and to seek your face and to ask your blessing to be upon other people. So, Father, right now, I'm thinking of my listening audience. I want you to, wherever they've tuned me in, whatever station they've used to tune me in or my website, I just want to ask, Father, that you would meet their needs, whatever they are today. Some may be physical, and some may be spiritual, some could be emotional and financial, but God, you're the God of all, and you're able to meet every need that there is. And you remind us in your word to cast our load upon you, because you care for us. And I love the invitation, dear Jesus, that you give. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's some that need some rest this morning, Father. Things have been so busy in their life and so many different directions they've been going through. And so I just ask that you would be with them in a very special way, and I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that. Now, coming on in your word, we're going to talk about the beginning of sin in the human race. We're going to talk about the wonderful provision the Heavenly Father's made through his Son, the Lord Jesus, to give us forgiveness of sin. We're going to talk about the realization that we need to understand that disobedience brings displeasure to God's heart. He wants us to be his obedient children, not his disobedient children. So let's take a look at your word, Father, and you speak to us how we need to be spoken to. And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Always number my pages of information that I have that I want to share with you. So I've got page one, so I think I'm on the right page, and we'll get started with the message. The message today is the idea of the birthplace of disobedience. You know, everything has a beginning and also has an ending. One day begins, and then it ends. One year begins, and it ends. You realize this is the last Sunday of January, the first month of 2020. The next time I share a message with you, it's going to be February. And this is one of the years that my wife and I will not be in Florida for the month of February. we were blessed, and I think it is totally blessed, that we had the privilege of going to Florida for 22 years. But last year when my wife and I was there, we said, we're not going back no more. Was this more difficult? It was harder to do, and neither one of us wanted to be that far from home. So the blessing of it had kind of run out for us. And so we decided we're going to stay home February this year, going to turn up the thermostat a little bit, and just stick around and watch what happens in Michigan. Probably the biggest thing that I will miss the most is having my PT Cruiser down there. I got a little PT Cruiser convertible, and we've driven it now for the last 11 years down in Florida in the month of February, and having to top down many different times. But that's past, so we move on, and that's what I wanted us to get out of that. We're going to study the disobedience that was recorded in the book of Genesis. You know, the book of Genesis is called the Book of Beginnings. It's a record of the beginning of time. It's a record of the beginning of life, of sin, of salvation, of the human race, and of the Hebrew nation. All of that is recorded in the book of Genesis. But the story we want to look at is what I want us to have as a foundation for our things that we're going to talk about today, is something that is recorded in God's word because of disobedience that happens in the lives of people. Sometimes it's your disobedience that affects you a little bit. Sometimes it's the disobedience of maybe your parents or somebody else that you was close to, and they was disobedient as well, and that caused a lot of difficulty. But Jesus came, and he was totally obedient to the Heavenly Father. And we can benefit from his obedience. Let me just share this foundation for you. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. I love the way that describes Jesus. When the goodness and the loving kindness of our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, appeared. He saved us not because of works that we had done by us in our righteousness, but according to his mercy, his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was present in this thing that we've come to call salvation, that he reaches out into your life and he reaches out into my life with. Now listen to what he says. And being justified by his grace, we might become the heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God says, I want you to have life forever. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on the things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for all people. Now, I've got to tell you, folks, there's not many things that you can say. These things are excellent and profitable for all people. He's saying that's what Christ wants to produce in your life, and then he wants to produce through your life as you share that message with your family, your friends, and those that you are acquainted with. But you know what he's saying? He's saying this salvation that God has provided is all because of kindness and goodness and love and mercy. He reaches out to us, even though we have been disobedient. And sometimes we don't like quite understand, why does disobedience happen? I think I've told you this story before, but my one daughter called me up. They had three sons right in a row, and she was expecting the fourth son. And she called me up and she said, Dad, she said, I'm not going to take all the things off from the coffee table like I have other years with the new baby. I'm going to leave everything just like it is. And I'm going to teach him that he needs to let it alone. Well, as the baby grew and pretty soon he started creeping and crawling, he'd come up to the coffee table and then she would just tenderly slap his patty and say, "No, no, 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 can't touch, no, no." Well, then as time went on, the reason she called me that night was she said he was crawling across the living room, headed to the coffee table, and all of a sudden he stopped, put one hand and put his hands up off of the floor, and he slapped his patty gently, and he said, "No, no, no, no." And then he crawled to the coffee table and begin to touch everything that was on there. You see, folks, I've got to explain something this morning. You know, what happens is that Adam was the representative of the human race. God had created Adam. Then God had said it is not good for Adam to be alone. So he had created a helpmate. He put him in a beautiful garden. And their job was to tend the garden. And by the way, there wasn't weeds and thistles at that first part of creation. It was just to tend for it. And he told them, there's a lot of fruit in there you can eat. And he explained it to them. You can eat of that tree, you can eat of that bush, you can eat of that tree. But that tree in the midst of the garden, like in the center of the garden, he said, of that tree you do not eat. That's the tree of good and knowledge, good and evil. That tree, my command is, you do not eat. You do not touch. You do not even look at. Every other tree is yours. That one tree you do not partake of. And that was the only rule there was for living in that beautiful garden. And you know, we realize that God's reminding us that his goodness and his blessing upon our lives will lead us to our place of repentance, because we're going to need it as we look at stage two of the beginning of this thing called disobedience, which brought sin into the world. And as a result, you and I are sinners by nature. Adam, our representative, was there. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread upon all men because all sinned. I want us to take a look at how and what all beautiful settings all of this was when this first sin of disobedience happened. God says that death came to all men because one man sinned. May I say before I go any further, if it was you, or if it was me, we would have done the same thing. If it was my wife and I, or your wife and you, we would have done the same thing. Adam is a representative of the human race. God is saying, this is the way the human race responded when I gave them just one rule not to break. They had to break it. Now we need to understand. He said, all have sinned. And the idea is now, what you're born with and what I'm born with is a sinful nature. We're going to sin. That's what was wrong with my little grandson. He's crawling across the floor. He knows he's not supposed to touch that. He slaps his own patty and says, no, no, and keeps on going. Don't tell me you haven't done that, folks. Every single one of us has been guilty of that kind of thing. But I want us to think of the environment that was set up, because sometimes we blame the environment that we're a part of today in 2020 for why we do and why we behave the way we do. We sometimes blame our parents. We sometimes blame some school teacher. We sometimes blame somebody else that misused us a little bit. I'm thinking about what the environment was like when this disobedience took place. It was a beautiful garden that God had just created with only one request. That tree in the midst of the garden, that's not for you. Stay away from it, leave it alone, don't eat of it. The Lord took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden, and he was there to work it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge and the good and the evil in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of that tree, or you will surely die. Now you got to understand, and I got to understand, that Adam wouldn't know what dying was. When I say to you, you shall surely die, we've all had somebody close to us that has died. We all have experienced a little bit of death. And we all know that one day we too shall die. Adam had no history of that. I'm not sure he understood totally what that was like. You know, day and age is the day, the part that you and I are part of today. We blame others for so many things. We blame them for disobedience that we do. But just think, this time of disobedience, at this time of this disobedience that we're looking at this morning, there was only two people, Adam and Eve. They couldn't blame the TV. They couldn't blame their political leaders. They couldn't blame the police. They couldn't blame their dad. There was nobody else they could put the blame on. I like what it says in the book of James, when it's talking about what happens when some of these kinds of things take place in our life. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted. Now listen, each one of us is tempted when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. He said, temptation comes to you when you look at something and you want it for yourself. You could see the fruit on that tree and you just wondered, what does it taste like? I need to know that. Then after that desire has conceived, you got a taste of whatever it was you wanted a taste of. And then that desire has been conceived. It gives birth to sin, disobedience. That's what happens as a result of doing what we shouldn't have. When it is full grown, when sin is accomplished all it can accomplish, it brings about death. Don't mean you're going to die for something you did, but you're going to die because of sin. You see, it would have been no sin. If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, there wouldn't have been no death. Death is a result of sin. There's so much that happened to this world. I don't have time to go into it all this morning, but there's many different places in the scripture where he shares with us. This whole world is groaning. This world is going through some sad times, some broken times. Just the world we're living in because of the result of the sin that entered into the Garden of Eden. There was no thistles. There was none of that kind of stuff. The garden was really easy to take care of. And yet, that beautiful environment did not allow for the fact that sin still took place. Before we listen to a song, I got to go a little further. In this book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, the book is telling us about the sin of disobedience of Adam and Eve. I want to take that verse that I just shared with you in the book of James and show you how that worked in the life of Eve. But before I do, we got to get Eve in there. So we've only talked about Adam so far. So when the woman, it says, so God created Adam. Then out of Adam's side, he took a rib. He created woman. And Adam called a woman. He said she's to be a helpmate to him, taken out of his side, a part of him. Now they're supposed to be two, make up one. So when the woman saw the tree, and this is what she noticed, it was good for food, she thought. Man, that looks delicious. That it was pleasant to the eyes. Her eyes just kept looking at it. She thought she wanted to taste it. The tree is desirable to make one wise. That's what the serpent had told her. And she's thinking, I would like all wisdom. She took the fruit and she picked it and she ate it. Not only did she eat it, but she also gave it to her husband and he ate it. Then her eyes both were open and they were naked and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together to try to make themselves some covering. And then all of a sudden they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called out to Adam, 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 he said, where are you? Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said to him, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me, it was the woman Eve. She gave it to me to eat. Then God said to Eve, what have you done? And Eve said, the serpent, he deceived me, and he gave me to eat. As a result, sin entered the world. And you and I, as a result of our representative sinning, you and I are born with a sinful nature. You may not like that, folks. It's not blaming you for Adam's sin or Eve's sin. It's just saying that's how we come to have a sinful nature when we're born. That's why we want to touch things that we shouldn't touch. That's why we want to partake of things that God has told us we shouldn't be a part of. And it gives us every day of our life, as long as we live, it'll give us the idea that we have to make choices. Am I going to disobey or am I going to obey? Now, you know you have that inside of you. You know you have those desires to want to do things that we shouldn't do. And you and I as well. We've all done those things that we've known we shouldn't do. I'd just like to have you think about this for a few moments, though. Eve first looked at the fruit. She saw it was good. That's the way he told us in the book of James. You look at it at first. It's pleasant to your eyes. And all of a sudden she desires. I wonder what it tastes like. I wonder what it tastes like. I wonder why God said we couldn't partake of that tree. And now this serpent is saying, you won't die. You won't die. You'll just have more wisdom. You'll just be smarter than you've ever been before. And you know what? The desire leads to taking and picking a piece of the fruit and eating it. A part of death was that they lost their innocence. Before, they had been naked, but it was not something that was bad to them. But all of a sudden, when they ate of the tree of the good and knowledge, they ate that fruit, all of a sudden they realized, we're naked. That's the first part of death. It changed right there in the garden for them two people. Their own conscience began to talk to them and say those kinds of things with them. And then something else that's happened to them as another part of death was when God come walking in the cool of night, he wanted to have some fellowship with them. They went and hid themselves from God. That's one of the big things we do today, is we hide from God. We put on masks that makes us look better than we are. But they said they hid from the trees. How do you think you're going to hide from God who made the trees? God calls out their name, Adam, Adam. Got to be honest with you, folks. God told Adam, don't eat of that tree. It was Adam's responsibility, and I believe he did. Told Eve, we're not supposed to eat of that one tree. And Eve did eat, and she gave it to her husband, and he did eat. Now, they both were disobedient. But God is holding Adam responsible because God gave that command to Adam. Of that one tree you do not partake of, the day that you do, you shall die. You know what that death was? Hiding from God. Are you hiding from God this morning? Be sure your sins will find you out. Where can you go from the hide from God? If you go into the highest height, he is there. You go into the deepest depth, he is there. He is everywhere. How are you going to hide from God? Something else that happened as a part of that death time was the idea they started blaming each other. That's what tells me you and I know we're sinful as nature. You know, because you can't tell me that as a child you didn't do something you blamed your brother for it. You can't tell me you didn't do something and you blamed somebody else for it. And we love playing the blame game. Adam pointed his finger first at God. Can you imagine him saying that? You know what, God, it's your fault. If you wouldn't have gave me that woman, it wouldn't have happened. Sometimes we like to blame God for things that's not God's fault, that God meant to be a blessing to us. Then he blamed Eve, the woman. She's the one that gave it to me. Come on, Adam. You know what you did. Then he said to Eve, what'd you do? And Eve is saying, well, she points the finger at the serpent, which is a figure of Satan. She said, he deceived me. He told me I wouldn't die. God said, you're just supposed to obey the command. Don't eat of that tree. In the day that you do, you shall surely die. And they pointed the finger at each other. The last thought before we listen to this song that I'd like to share with you. Have you noticed, folks, when you take your finger and point it at somebody else, you got three fingers pointing back at you. We love playing the blame game. Husbands and wives play it on one another as Adam and Eve did. Children blame their parents. Parents blame their children. We always want to blame, and many of us have blamed God. That's a pretty serious thing, folks, to blame him. You know what God would say amongst all of that? I'm here for you. I want you to know this song is teaching us that God would say to you and he would say to me, lean on me. Lean on me because I can be your source of strength. We'll listen to this song. I gotta give my voice a little break, and then I'll be right back in just a few minutes as we complete our message time.
Feel you're going under, hold tighter to my hand. When you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need. When the road ahead seems rugged and the path is getting steep, I feel that I can't make it and my heart begins to bleed. Then I turn to see who's coming to join me in the way. And I see that it's my Savior, and I hear him gently say, lean on me. When you have no strength to stand, when you feel you're going under, hold tighter to my hand, lean on me. When your heart begins to bleed, when you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need. Lean on me. When you have no strength to stand, when you feel you're going under, hold tighter to my hand, lean on me. When your heart begins to bleed, when you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need. When you've come to the place that I'm all you have, then you'll find I'm all you need. I'm all you need.
That when you come to the place, you find that's all you've got is Jesus. You find out that Jesus is all you really need. He can meet the needs of your life. That's what I want to show us now, because not only was Adam our representative, and Adam failed, he committed sin. As a result, he was kicked out of the garden. As a result, the Bible, God told Adam, you know what, Adam, to do work in the fields now, you're going to have thistles and all kinds of other things. He told the woman, you know, you're going to bear a child and it's going to be painful. He told the serpent, a serpent they believed had lots of legs. He said to the serpent, you're going to call a crow on your belly the rest of your life. But in the book of Romans chapter 5, God explains this to each one of us, as he talks about a second representative, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he came to do for us. Sin came into the world through one person, and death through sin. Sin came into the world through Adam, and as a result of Adam's sin, death had happened. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. We hide from God. So death spread to everyone because everyone has sinned. Sin was in the world before there were any laws, but no record of sin can be kept when there is no laws. Yet death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. People were dying. God was saying, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be death. And then he gave the Ten Commandments, and now he's going to show us how we should live. And then when we're disobedient, how we need somebody that's bigger than us to help us through our disobedience, and how we need his obedience to help us. Adam is an image of the one who would come. There's no comparison between God's gift and Adam, Adam's failure. If humanity died as a result of one person's failure, it is certainly true that God's kindness and a gift given through the kindness of one person, Jesus Christ, has been to show all humanity that God really loves you. Christ is our representative, and all made righteous through him. Romans 5:17 says, "For by him, one man's offense, death reigned throughout the world. By one man's abundant grace and the gift of righteousness will reign life in and through this one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, result in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, a free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. God's done something to help us. He's done something to give us this hope that we need to have. For as one man, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by this one man's obedience, Jesus, many will be made righteous. When you believe in him, you get the righteousness of God. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but when sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that sin reigns in death, and even so might reign through righteousness to eternal life. And this eternal life is through this one Jesus." You know what the Bible teaches us about this one Jesus and why he can be our representative? It tells us he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus went through all of that he might be the perfecter of your life. He might be the author of eternal salvation to everyone that will believe in him. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 8 through 9. God is reminding us in Adam, we all fell. But when we place our faith and trust in this one Jesus and all that he did, all of his obedience of all of his life, my favorite thing that I like to share is him who knew no sin was willing to become sin for us. And as our representative, there he died on that cross that we've come to call Calvary. And he died for my sins. And he died for your sins. And he wants us to confess our sins that we might have the forgiveness of sin. But you know what God does? Now when he looks upon you, when he looks upon me, he sees his son Jesus Christ in our life. So he doesn't see all the naughty bad things that we've done. By the way, sin isn't just naughty bad things. Listen to this. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's just not naughty bad things. Some people can say, you know, I've lived a pretty clean life. It's all right. Have you always done what you're supposed to do? That makes it a little different, folks. You and I need to realize that God is saying to us, you can't earn this salvation on your own. But just as Adam represented you and he sinned, and as a result, you have that sin nature in your life, then you end up sinning because you have a sin nature. And just as this one Jesus was obedient totally to God the Father, and he's saying to you and he's saying to me, when you believe in me, then my righteousness and my goodness is going to be passed on to you. So that when God looks upon your life, upon you as an individual, he sees that you believe in Jesus. So all the work that Jesus did as a representative for you becomes attached to your life. But there's something more about this. I love the idea of salvation. I love the way that God has forgiven us and given us this hope. I love the idea that the things that Jesus did and the perfection of his life, when I place my faith and trust in that work that Jesus did for me, that work becomes how God looks upon me. I can't fathom that. That now he doesn't see it anymore. You know what he told us? When we ask him for forgiveness, you know what he said? I'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west, and those two never meet. I'll take all of your sins and I'll bury them in the deepest sea. You know what else he reminds us? When we place our faith and trust in him, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He cleans us up. One day Jesus was telling them a parable because the religious people, they didn't want Jesus. They were saying they didn't believe in Jesus. And yet they were religious people. You know what Jesus said to him? There's a dad that had two sons. And he said to his one son one day, would you go into my garden and work today? And you know what? The son said, Dad, I'd be glad to go in your garden and work today. He said to his second son, Son, would you go into my garden and work today? The second son said, No, I don't want to work for you. After a while, the son that said yes, he never went to the garden to work. After a while, the son that said no, thought, why did I tell Dad no? Said he repented of that. And he went to work in the garden. Then Jesus said to those religious people, which one of these two sons did the will of the Father? And the religious people said, the second son. Jesus said, you're right. It was the second son. But now listen to what he says. And this is serious business. These were religious people. And Jesus said, you know what? The sinners, those other people that's done so many things that you think is so terrible. He says, I want you to know that those are the kind of people, the tax collectors, the harlots, those people that you look down your nose at as a religious person, they're going to enter the kingdom of God before you do. Because they're willing to admit that they need to repent and change their mind and the way they're acting. But the religious people weren't ready to do that. God wants to remind us. That's something very special for us to get a hold of. That he wants to forgive us. And not only does he want to forgive us, he wants to give us the promise of eternal life. God don't want us to hide from him as Adam and Eve did. God don't want us to try to figure out our own way to cover up our shortcomings. He just wants us to get on our knees and ask him to forgive us. Let me, Sarah, in closing, the last reason why I believe we should do that. I told you at the beginning of the service today that Adam was placed in a beautiful garden with everything that he would need. A little bit of work to do to give him some sense of fulfillment. Everything he'd need to eat. Just one rule that he can't have no fruit from that one tree. Many years later, our representative, the Lord Jesus Christ, he'd been baptized. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And he was in the wilderness 40 years. Not a beautiful garden, folks, but in the wilderness, in the desert. And he had nothing to eat for 40 days. And after the 40 days was over, Satan came to him. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones come become bread. And Jesus was hungry. Jesus could have desired to have some bread at that moment. But listen to what he says to Satan. He said, depart from me, he says, for man shall not live by bread alone. And then the devil took him up in the holy city and showed him, put him on this big high temple and showed him, said to him, throw yourself on the ground and your Father will take care of you. And Jesus reminds him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he took him up in a high place and he showed him in a moment's time all of the kingdoms of the whole world. And he said to them, said to Jesus, Satan did, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms. Remember what he said to Eve? Eve, eat of that tree, and you shall be so much wiser. Jesus, someday this can be all yours, but I can give it to you right now. You don't need to go through all you're going to go through. And know what Jesus said? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only should you serve. He wasn't bowing down to Satan. And then it says the devil left him for a season. Jesus Christ had the worst environment, and he obeyed. That's why he can be your Savior. That's why he can give you forgiveness. That's why he promised you eternal life. Because he was able to do what he said he was able to do. My time is gone, and so I got to go on my way. And I got another song I want us to listen to in our closing time. This is a song simply reminding us of this wonderful love of the Lord Jesus. I love this old song, softly and tenderly, with these
calling
thoughts in my mind.
All sinners, come. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home,
come home,
come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner. Is calling, calling.